I'm Will Hedrick, and this is Dog Ears and Timestamps, a book club podcast, where today we are finishing up the final half of Six Crimson Cranes by Elizabeth Lim. I say we, but it is just, in fact, me today. Jordan, unfortunately, is unable to make it to recording. Just some scheduling conflicts. Things are getting a little crazy in different places right now, so our time is becoming relatively short. And on that note, I'm going to be talking about some upcoming format changes to the show. But there's going to be some changes in the releases and the way that we go about recording, all that sort of stuff. We're looking into ways to make it a little bit easier, probably on everybody. I do hear from people every now and then that we read at a pretty quick pace. And I always thought, well, maybe you just read more because we're able to do it. I work two jobs, whatever, right? But not everybody reads with the same level of energy that we do. So it'll be easier both for us to get through the reading with some of the changes we're going to make and probably as well as y'all. So we'll talk about that later, though. First, we're going to talk about the book. And that's Kickoff. Packers, Lions. Let's see what happens. I really, really, really need Aaron Rodgers to do really, really, really fucking good for my fantasy football team. So let's all keep our fingers crossed for that, even though y'all are listening to this no earlier than Wednesday. So one of the things that we were talking about last week was how long do we let this love triangle thing go on, right? And we get rid of it pretty quickly in this book. Takan gets up pretty quick from his wounds that Shiori stitches him up for. And this is only maybe another chapter or two afterwards, maybe not even, maybe just the next chapter, that Takan gets back up on his feet and is able to walk around and start doing things. So that's not going to be a drawn out part at all. We pretty much go right into Shiori thinking that she's kind of into him almost immediately, so she's sort of realizing that she's into him. And then, you know, by the end of this section of reading, she's 1,000,000% into him. Like, that's already set in stone, so there's nothing that's going to happen with Serio, which is probably for the best. I think that maybe he becomes like a mini enemy, given the way that everything seems to be trending. So there's an answer to that question. We nixed out the love triangle pretty quickly, and probably for the better. I don't remember exactly what part it happens, but we learn relatively quickly that Lord Yuji has betrayed the throne and is amassing an army to go and take over the kingdom. So that's kind of putting an extra step in the plans of Shiori and her brothers, though they don't communicate about it for a while. A lot of stuff kind of happens in between when we start this second half of the book and when we meet up with the brothers again. In fact, pretty much most of it is what is happening in those moments or days. The time passage is kind of difficult to tell. They say at the end of it all that it's been about 6 months since the beginning of the book, but I'm not sure that I ever really had a good grasp of how much time was passing. Maybe that's one particular issue with it, but I think that's probably due to how quickly some things happen, how quickly huge things happen. But in any case, we go through seeing something weird when some wolves attack, becoming really close with Takan and his sister Megari, going through learning about how Lord Yuji betrays the throne and has taken care of the enchanter or the lord, whoever it was, that had possession of this powerful enchanter is called the wolf, their pendant, so now working for Yuji. We continue to hate Zairana, and she continues to be the worst. We figure out that she's sleeping with Hasege, who, you know, who could have fucking guessed that, because he's also the worst. So there we go. And that's why Shiori is almost certainly going to get framed for something at some point, right? And try to be kicked out or whatever their end goal is that we don't know. Really until the end, which was a relatively decent twist. I think that at some point we're kind of given a lot of reason to believe that Zairana is an imposter, or at the very least a, you know, a betrayer of some sort. If she is the real Zairana, then, you know, she's a betrayer, but it seems likely that she might not be even be the real Zairana. Like, someone is playing the part, right? And so what is that goal of whoever these people are, where she's betraying people that she ought to have known and, you know, grown up with and loved and all that? Or, you know, why is it that this person is pretending to be this person? We finish getting the Starstroke net finished, you know, all woven. Shiruin gets framed, the head chef. Then the brothers show up again right before the festival, and that's when we see them again. So all that other stuff happens up until the point where the brothers return, and then things continue on to be pretty fucking quick. We get a quick bit at the festival. Takan and Shiori are, you know, splitting ways. that's when Shiori has the realization that Zairana was the assassin, the imposter, whatever her deal is. It's a negative thing, right? And then the culmination of Zairana and Hasega's plans to frame Shiori take fruit, and they are able to convince Lady Bushian to burn her at the stake without waiting for Takan to come back from the campaign that he's going on because war is afoot. That's when the brothers show up a second time, save Shiori, and of course Takan joins in that somehow. He just, you know, has a feeling that he needs to go back and do it, whatever, right? It works. It's all about love or whatever, right? And then the wolf shows up, betrays Lord Yuji, turns into a demon, takes Shiori with him into the Holy Mountains. She goes through some, like, Daenerys in the House of the Undying shit, if y'all remember that part of the book. I don't think that they put that in the show. I can't remember. Maybe they did. Is whenever she's in Karth, right? And she goes to the House of the Undying, was this place where all the Karthian mages were headquartered or whatever. She goes in there and does some memory shit like Shiori does. And then we get Rykama's vindication. You know, she was a good person all along, blah, blah, blah. Which was, I guess, the alternative to what we were thinking, obviously. I don't know if there could have been a third alternative. But we, you know, get her vindication, find out that everything's going to be okay or whatever. Except that we know that the wolf has what he needs to get out of the Holy Mountains. So what happens there? That's the next book. We know this is a series. Rykama dies. Shiori starts to make her journey towards the Dragon Kingdom because she needs to do something. She's making some sort of a bargain with the Dragon King, even though, like, that's impossible to do or whatever, right? Because she needs to return Rykama's dragon pearl to the person who originally owned it, who was Rykama's sister, not a dragon. I guess we're supposed to believe at this point, not a dragon. And so she knows that she can't just give it back to the Dragon King. That's where we're going to start with the next book, I assume, is she's on her journey to go meet the Dragon King. Probably has to do a bunch of, you know, whatever garbage to get her out of there alive, because that's not going to go well, almost certainly. Then we deal with the wolf again at some point, right? I don't know how many books are supposed to be in this series. Maybe it's one book per issue. So, you know, we broke the curse this time, learned the truth of things. Next book is returning the Dragon Pearl. Third book is resolving the wolf demon issue, right? Maybe that's what it is. Who knows at this point? We've got two additional problems right now. Both of them seem pretty big, but maybe they're not as big as I think that they are. You can maybe cram both of those into a single book if you just kind of blow through it. Who knows? But I think that all in all, well, you know, before I get to that, I'm going to go ahead and break here. We'll hear from our sponsors, and we'll see if Aaron Rodgers can get anything done. So as far as the book goes in whole, I really, really enjoyed it. There was definitely times that we've read books that I did enjoy and was never upset to be reading, but I'm not always excited to go read some more, you know, thinking about it in different situations or whatever, thinking, oh yeah, I would actually really love to read right now. Typically, that's just, I don't know how often that happens necessarily, but I do kind of wish that it was maybe just this story. I don't know yet if I necessarily want a second or third book. When they come out, I'm going to read them, and I'm probably going to really enjoy them. But I wonder if maybe it could have been better served just being a single story. And, you know, the pending demon stuff with the wolf wasn't something that we were concerned about, and we could have maybe resolved the Dragon Pearl situation as well in it, though it could be a little hasty, but... You know, maybe we could have spent less time on that northern island. You know, I don't know where you would cut it, right? I don't do that. I don't do editing like that. So what the hell do I know? But I think that maybe if this had been a singular story, that it might sit better at the end of it all. But who knows? The second, third, fourth, fifth, 30th books might be the best things that ever happened. We don't know, right? I think that things that it did really well, making me care about any of these characters... I almost immediately liked Shiori, right? Even though she was frustrating at times, I do feel like she created the extreme majority of her problems, which is not my favorite character trait for a character. I feel like if the character is only creating their own problems, it just makes it easier to find a problem for things to progress along, you know, story-wise. But that's just my opinion. Other than that one little thing, Shiori was great. I liked her a lot. Pretty much all of her brothers... was relatively endeared towards. Takan, I, you know, grew to like well enough. His sister Megari is obviously the better character, but precocious kids are always a crowd favorite. All the villains' motives continued to make sense to me. there wasn't any time that I was thinking, why, well, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, why would they do it that way? Or, you know, I pretty often have problems with villains that just need to be evil, right? And so nothing is given to explain why they might be evil. And I don't need an entire backstory, right? I don't need its own spinoff movie telling me why they're evil. But you can give me a couple of lines, right, pretty easily, and provide just some idea of why it is this way, and it'd be okay. Like we talk about whenever we were going over Harry Potter, Umbridge just has absolutely no reason to be as evil as she is that we are given. She's just a bad character, or, you know, she's just an evil character. And it's been told that it was based off of a teacher that J.K. Rowling had when she was in school that she despised thoroughly. And so just made this like trash character to trash on this person that she didn't like, you know, petty, whatever, who cares. But because that's all it was, there's no character there. It's just an evil plot device. And that sucks. That didn't happen at all in this book, I don't believe. Everything that happened made sense to me. I didn't have a problem with it. I wasn't left wondering, like, why this, why that. Maybe that was also in part due to how quickly everything moved. And so maybe there wasn't enough time to just be sitting there thinking, well, why this, why that? Pretty much everything about this book, well, you know, I really, really enjoyed it. I don't think that it's the greatest book that I've ever read, certainly, you know, relatively by the numbers, the way that things go for a fantasy story. There hasn't been any actual loss yet, which is maybe indicative of it being a young adult categorized book, though that's not necessarily a hard rule for that, right? Like, there can be tragedy in young adult story settings, but there hasn't been any in this one so far. So, you know, you can take that or leave it. You know, who cares, right? It's not necessarily a problem, but it does make it feel easy, or maybe not easy, but it's, what is it that I'm really trying to say here? It's more palatable that way. It's an easier sell to a wider audience that way. And none of that stuff is negative. That's just the way that it is. And there's not a problem with any of it, of course. It's just, you know, how media goes. So even though it reaches the widest audience that way, in the most palatable fashion, that still means that there's people out there that don't think that that's the greatest way to do it. And I think that I might fall in that part. I don't mean to say that there needs to be a death every five chapters or anything. We don't need more A Song of Ice and Fire. But when there doesn't feel like there might actually be any stakes, it makes things a little bit cheaper. Certainly, if it's going to be a long series, do we spend the entire series feeling like there's not really any stakes? You know, none of the brothers died whenever she speaks for the first time. And I'm pretty sure that she speaks before the curse is broken. And that doesn't really get explained to us how that works or doesn't work. I don't mind that necessarily because it's magic that we don't know the rules for. But the way that they explained how that specifically works makes it seem like they broke their own very loose rules right there. So, you know, if that's how that goes every time, then there's not going to be any real risk. And that can make this story feel a little bit more shallow. We'll see what happens as they come out, of course. I know that I was talking about how maybe it could have been better served as a single novel, a single story. I think that that's something that I tend to say about a lot of things, though. So, to counter that to myself, I am excited to see what it is that happens with the wolf now turned into a demon. I think that that plot line could potentially be really interesting over the course of however long it takes to finish up the story. I wonder if that is the greater arc or the minor arc. You got to figure that that's the greater arc, but it might only even be one more book, so there might not be any real greater or lesser arc to even follow. I think that the Dragon Pearl thing can be interesting, but it seems like it's going to be such a departure from the story that we just had, because we're now going to meet an alien race, right? We're going to go meet something that doesn't operate the same way that we do. And so how can that not be anything but like a departure from what was happening? And that's also not a bad thing. I just don't know that that's what I want yet. So who knows? There wasn't anything about the writing even itself from a structural standpoint or like a habits standpoint. Like, some people pick out little things about writing tendencies from authors that you are familiar with, you know. And I didn't really notice anything about this that I thought was less than good. There wasn't anything that I thought, man, they have a habit of really explaining this over much or in a way that can't be understood. or like a weird tendency to go back to the same word over and over again. That's something that always kind of upsets me. Or even under-explain things, you know, to present like a complicated idea as though it was common knowledge. And like every character in the story, of course, understands this very complex idea. But before I spend too much longer explaining what bad writing tendencies are, or like, you know, little weird habits, before I have a bad habit of over-explaining that garbage, I just didn't see anything negative in the way that this story was written. I feel like maybe not like in a row, but several of the last books that we've read over the course of the last, I'm going to say like 6 to 8 months, there was always little things here and there and in the way that people wrote that kind of irked me. And that's often just a personality thing as well. Not necessarily a skill or capability discussion, but more a discussion of why is it that I don't like that. but there was none of that in this one, which was probably a contributing factor to why I was saying earlier that I was always excited to start reading this time around. I think it was just easy for me to read it. I think it was easy for me to get into it because I didn't find any of those inhibitive writing tendencies that I sometimes find in authors and oftentimes in young adult authors. And I think that that is possibly because that's the largest, most widespread genre, you know. I don't mean to say it's an easy point to step in, but it is an accessible point to step in. In any case, after all of that, what I mean to say is I really liked this book and I really liked the writing. I am excited for whatever it is that's next. No matter how long the series is, I might as well just buy into it at this point. I really liked the world that we're in. Though there's definitely a ton still to learn about it. I'm always into any flavor of Asian setting, even if it's entirely ambiguous, like some may be sometimes. So I think Descent into the Crane felt pretty Chinese, like Three Kingdoms era, but fantasy, of course. And this felt like it was attempting to lean more towards Japanese, but, you know, this is all just my opinion. I'm certainly no scholar on any of that stuff. And, cranes. I like cranes a lot. And not just because we've read two books that use them in the titles, but just cranes are cool. Birds are neat. So I'll stick around for that even. Whatever. Next week, we're not going to have an episode. We're going to take a week off. I did the math wrong on Dune twice somehow, or maybe it got delayed a week and I didn't realize or something, right? I don't know what happened, but we only need 3 weeks to read the book. And the movie comes out on the 22nd. So if you're going to follow along with us, the first week of reading is going to be the entire first sub-book within Dune, the first novel. It breaks it up into books, like some of these fantasy novels sometimes do. The Lord of the Rings is broken up that way. Or at least, you know, originally it was supposed to be. So we're going to read the entirety of the first sub-book within Dune. Coincidentally, that first book is also titled Dune. It's 22 chapters, about 240 pages, according to my Kindle edition. Obviously, yours may vary. So, you know, that's on the long side of reading. Not as long as we have read before in a single week, but on the long side. So it's beneficial for this to be the week that we take a week off. It's going to provide 2 weeks to get through 240-ish pages. And then the week after that, we'll read book two, Muad'Dib. I'm going to just say that's how you pronounce it. I'm not sure. And then after that, book three, The Prophet. As each of these progresses, they each progressively get shorter. So week two of this is closer to like 180 pages or something like that, I think. And then week three is like 120 pages. They get shorter and shorter. But get hyped, man. It's a Dune. This is one of the epics, right? And then the movie. The movie's going to be coming out on Friday, October 22nd. We're going to go see it, of course. Then we'll get an episode recorded with the goal of that coming out that following Monday, which ought to be the 25th, I believe. So that's what y'all can expect going forward. What we're going to be changing elsewise about the show, we're looking at going to a bi-weekly format where we only put out an episode every other week just to make the reading easier for everybody involved. Provides more time for everybody to get things done. It's more time for y'all to read. It's more time for us to read. It's more time for us to record. So going to the biweekly format is extremely likely. We haven't finalized it, but I think it's inevitable. If it doesn't happen after Dune, which is when I think it's going to happen, then it'll happen before much longer after that. There also is a possibility that sometimes it might be just Jordan. Sometimes it might be just me. It'll likely be both of us most of the time. We might get back into having guests more frequently. And I think going to a biweekly format helps provide that opportunity for whoever the guest is to also read and actually be involved in what it is that we're covering at that time. So those are just things that we're kind of thinking about, things that you can expect to come around at some point. Well, you know where to find everything, hopefully. If you don't, you can go to just anchor.fm/ears-stamps. That's where we host the show, or have the show hosted would probably be the more correct way to say that. There's also there links to everywhere that you can find the rest of our stuff, Twitter, Instagram, both at ears_stamps. We have a Facebook, but there's nothing really that ever gets posted to it. Just like the other things. Sorry about that. I know I've been trying to be better about the social media for a long time. It's something I've been saying for a long time and continue to fail at. But no, I'm not good at it. I'm sorry. That's where you can find it all, though. dogearsandtimestamps@gmail.com. I do get that on my phone, so even if I don't check it actively, I'll get the notification. Let us know whatever. Who cares? Let us know what you think about the Packers. That's what I'm thinking about right now. Hoping that Aaron throws to Aaron, I don't know, at least 4 touchdowns. That's what I need. None to Devontae Adams. Love Devontae Adams. Don't need him to get anything this week. Really, really, really need Aaron to Aaron action. All right. I'm Will Hedrick. This is Dog Ears and Timestamps. Go Pack, go.